Hello, and welcome to Freshwater. You're listening to a message from our pastor, Dr. Jeff Gibbon, given in one of our weekly services. You can check out our website, www.freshwaterchurch.net, for more information on our weekly services, home groups, online giving, and a whole lot more. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
All right. Haven't you ever wanted to be closer? You know, you want to be connected. Isn't that good? That's from movie Shorts, Adventures of the Rishi Walk. That's kind of a cool kids movie and fun. It was a lot of fun. So we talked about, in the course of the series, we've talked about that couples that pray together, the divorce rate is less than 1%. But researchers did a study, and they were studying at those truly blissful couples, not only those that stand the test of time, but those guys that just Google-eye at each other after they've been married for 50 years. What's about them? And researchers looked at, you know, what are the factors that bring a truly blissful marriage? And, well, they found a whole bunch of unique stuff. You know, this works for this bunch of couples and that works for this bunch of couples. But they found a few things that just seem to be commonalities, not with everyone, but with a lot of them. And the first one, the most, I should do this in reverse order, but I'm going to do it from top to bottom. So the quality that most of the couples had in the blissful marriage was that the wife was thinner and prettier than the husband. Now, stop there for just a minute and say, well, first, girls, let's just have a talk between us sisters. You don't have to be thin to be happy, right? It doesn't say just thinner than your husband. So a little advice here, pie. Pie works wonders for marriage. Apparently, this is what the research is saying. So anyway, that was just, you know, a neat little piece right there. Pie is what we need. That's it right there. Well, the second most common quality for blissful marriages is that blissful couples tend to look at the positives. So if you looked at a blissful couple and say, you know, their house just burned down, well, the blissful husband might say to the wife, oh, honey, look, we get to sleep out underneath the stars and to have all this extra body fat to keep you warm, right? It all works together. Well, the third quality that they had is that the more willing that a husband is to do housework, the more attractive the wives found them. So I got an amen. That was good. Well, so I got you pie, but I also got you housework, guys. Sorry about that. Anyway, I just found this all fascinating. I'm looking at blissful couples, and they also found some things to avoid. Here are the three things they avoid. One, they found that immediately after watching a romantic comedy, marital satisfaction drops like a rock. It does, because we watch that and we go, wait a minute, that's not what I've got. So it just drops like a rock. The second one is drinking alcohol is bad for your marriage. They just saw that alcohol just kind of makes a mess. And then third, when a close friend gets divorced, your chances of getting divorced rises 75%. And that, apparently, divorce is catchy. It's contagious. But we see a friend go through it, and it rocks our boat, too. Well, we're in this series, The Two Shall Become One, and we're looking at Jesus' words, and we're going through and seeing his recipe for success in our relationships and marriage. And we started out this with our first vow that, after Christ, you are my priority, that we speak to our spouse. And second one is, I will pursue you always. And then last week we looked at, I promise that our marriage will be about we, not about me. Next week we're going to look at the vow of permanence. That will be our last one in this series. We're going to be going to, heading to, in 2 weeks, to a series of Experiencing God. This week we're looking at the vow of purpose, that I will seek God with you toward togetherness. Our main text has been Matthew chapter 19, and we're going to look at starting at verse 3. And Jesus here is challenged by Pharisees who talk to him about divorce, and in a way, he's giving us a recipe. against divorce, to divorce-proof our marriages. So verse 3, it says, some Pharisees came to him to test him, and they asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? Haven't you read, Jesus replied, that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife. The two will become one flesh. They are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Today we're going to focus in really close. We're going to zoom in on this part of the text right toward the end there. It says, therefore, what God has joined together. We're going to zoom in on that and just look at God joined. And what does that part imply of this text? Here we see God's recipe for marital bliss. Now, I'm going to geek out on you just for a minute. I'm sorry. And because there's a really interesting word here. Well, God joined. The word God is just the normal theos, everyday normal word for God in Greek. But in Greek, the word joined is unique. In fact, so unique that this time, and when Mark records the exact same thing, so it only counts as one, this is the only time in the New Testament this particular Greek word is used. It's not the normal word for join. Now, linguists have a special word for that. If there's a large document and a word only recurs once, they call it a hapax legomena. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this. I've noticed this. You know, when linguists name things, they never name it Bob. They never say Jim. It's a hapax legomena. All right, that's what you're going to name it. But that tells us something. It tells us that this word is unique and special. And if you widen the scope and look at the wider Greek literature, it is always applied to marriage. There's nothing else like this kind of joining. There's nothing else like it. It is so unique. And, that gets me excited. That's my geek side. Just, yeah, that's so cool. Now, your translation may not have joined. And that's because even while this word is unique, it is a cousin to another word. And your translation might say yoked together. And it is. It's reminiscent. It's different, but it's related to the word yoke. And here's a picture of a yoke. So like two oxen, two horses would be in a yoke together. They would pull something heavy. You know, if it's an oxen, two pair of oxen, they might be pulling a plow, and that would attach in the center. And you see there that a team of oxen, they really need to go together. In fact, as they train a team of oxen, they'll have a team, and then they'll have another walk beside it as they learn how to work together. They really need to pull together to make it work. Now, I want you to take a notice here of that top bar. You see that shape there, that top bar? That's our word join, that top bar. Not the whole thing, the top bar. And it's also reminiscent of another device found in the century. Here it is, a scale. You see that top bar? Look at that. See that top bar? That's the type of join. And see, here we have the balance of a scale. And so this word join carries with it a whole bunch of concepts. Reminiscent, but unique. And so God's recipe for relational bliss begins with a life that's balanced together. Like the scales. We're balanced. We're joined together. We balance each other out. We always, by the way, just in reality, we always overestimate our contribution, right? And we always underestimate our spouse's contribution, right? In effort, in ability, in harmony, in temperament, we balance together. That's part of God's recipe, His joining of a couple. You and your spouse are designed to complement each other. And by the way, I think that works with actual compliments too, right? We're designed to complement each other. But we're also designed to complement each other. That our strengths work together. Our weaknesses may not work well together, but our strengths should work together. That's how we're designed, to balance each other. My wife is an amazing bargain hunter, and I'm a do-it-yourselfer, and those two things really work well together. My wife is really good at making pie, and I am really good at eating it. You know, it all works together. We balance each other out. Our strengths complement one another. God's plan for relational bliss also works with pulling together. Just like our yoke, we pull together. In life, we are designed to pull together. That's what God joined brings this concept in. His recipe for bliss is a couple that pulls together, tackles problems together, each in our own strengths. Some strengths we didn't even know we had, but we pull together. His recipe for relational bliss also has this unique quality. This word that's related to these other words, but it's just unique. And we can't really describe it because marriage is the only place it really happens. And that is knit together. We are knit together. Husbands and wives knit together. And his recipe for bliss includes these three concepts. Balance together, pulling together, knit together, joined. Joined by him. Well, God has a plan for relational bliss, but I don't know about you, but the real world is right here now, isn't it? There's dangers of a real world relationship. When I was 4 years old, my parents went on a trip. They went to Disneyland, and we got in a car, and we drove all the way from the upper Midwest down to LA, and we went to Disneyland. And you know what the best part of the trip was? That my parents left my pesky little sister with Grandma. Yes! And so, just mom and dad and me, and I was 4 years old, and I remember sitting in the back of the car forever. And then I remember we got to Disneyland, and you know what? They took us on this ride on a boat with all these elephants and rhinos and hippos, and that was scary. And then the guide had to pull out a gun and shoot one right there. And yeah, Dad, I know you say it's fake, but I saw him shoot one. And now you're telling me the gun was fake too? Stories, that's what you're telling me. And then they took me on another scary thing. They took me on the Pirates of the Caribbean. I still have nightmares about that. So they take us on a ride. What are you thinking? You have violent alcoholics with guns. What kind of ride is that? And so I came out of there terrified. And then my parents said, let's go on this other one. It's called A Small World. The children of all the countries in the world singing together in harmony. Oh, I loved it. And I'm 4 years old. I was a little guy. It was a small world. Oh, bliss. And as soon as we got out of it, we started getting chased by a tiger. Mom and Dad said it was Tigger, but that didn't look like Tigger with me. Then they said, it's just a guy in a costume. And I was like, there's probably a guy in there because the tiger ate him. And so we went back on A Small World. Now, there's a lesson in all that, is that as much as I loved It's a Small World with all the children of the world singing in harmony, that wasn't the real world. That wasn't the real world. And God's recipe for marital bliss sometimes just doesn't seem all that real. Sometimes in the real world, we are pulling against each other, right? My wants do not align with her wants. My plans, my hopes, my visions of the future, they don't always align. We're pulling against each other. It's tug of war. It's not pulling together. That's reality. And in the real world, sometimes we swerve. We're not balanced. It's like I'm pulling this way and she's pulling that way. And we're just swerving all over this road. And we're swerving. And sometimes we feel distant, not knit together, not joined. Not joined. And so here is the key to this text. We're God joined. Engage with God toward relational bliss. Engage with Him, with the Lord. He brings us together. not to that ideal, but toward the ideal. Several years ago, my grandfather passed away, and then my grandmother had to go to a nursing home, and they started out on a farm, and we'd go out to the farm, and it was just a wonderful place. And my grandparents were kind of odd in that my grandfather was actually a traveling musician, and my grandmother was the farmer, and that kind of an odd thing, but that's what she was. Grandpa helped its harvest and a planting, but other than that, it was really Grandma's farm. She was the farmer. That's what German ladies did. So I would go, and our kids, I had 29 cousins on that side, 7 uncles who were married to 7 aunts, and we'd go to the farm at first, and all the animals, she had diversified farming, so she had all the animals, she had all the different kinds of crops. And toward the end of her farming time, she put together this little display, and she had all the animals on the display, little plastic animals. They had the cow and sheep and pig and ducks and geese and a dog and so forth. And then she had these little jars filled with all the grains they grew on the farm. So we had corn and soybeans and oats and wheat and flax and so on. And she made this display. And then they retired into town, into a little home there. Then, of course, Grandpa passed away, and then Grandma had to go into the nursing home several years after that. And my parents were there I was away at college, but my parents were there to help, you know, take care of the house with their brother, with Dad and his brothers. And I got a call, and they said, you know, there are a lot of cousins, and there are a lot of aunts and uncles, but is there something special that you would want from Grandma's house? And I immediately, I want the farm display. I want that little display. I remember walking up to it and looking at it, and as a kid, that was special to me. And I said, if that's the one thing I would want, there's not, you know, it's Grandma's, not a lot I'd want there, but that's something I would want. And mom and dad got that for me, you know, out of Grandma's house as part of out of her home as they're downsizing her. And I still have it in my office today. Now, the problem is that it keeps breaking. The pieces break off all the time, and it's not like I'm playing with it. It just breaks, and I have tried every kind of glue I can think of. Plastic glue and epoxy and Gorilla Glue and super glue, and it just doesn't seem to take. None have been perfect. But as we look at God joint, the difference between that example of glue that doesn't take and glue that does take in our marriages is God. See, God joins us together. And when we engage with Him, He brings us together. God engaged. We find our purpose together with Christ, God joined. We come together in Christ. We find a purpose together, and He joins us. He is our relational glue that holds us together. We will never be perfect in this world, but we can be moving the right direction toward that relational bliss. In Christ, moving closer together. We find that in intimacy together. God knits us together first by design. It's just a relational fact. By design, we are created to knit together. And when we engage in physical or emotional intimacy, just the way we're designed, we knit our souls together. That's just the way it works. We are created for this joining. It happens automatically. True emotional and physical intimacy automatically causes spiritual union. Now, here's a text that I've been shaking in my boots about all week, because this is not a wedding text. Just a note to self, don't use this one in a wedding. But you know, the more I think of it, even though it's a little advanced, this is maybe a really good marriage text. 1 Corinthians 6, 15 through 17 says, Paul is speaking to the church at Corinth, and he says, Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Now, again, that's not a good wedding text. But maybe that's a good marriage text because it's telling us something. One, there's an automatic spiritual union that happens with intimacy. That just happens. That's how we're created, and so we have to guard that. We really have to guard that. That is intended for our spouse, and so we need to guard that. Notice the automatic nature of this. It's a spiritual union happening here just automatically because that's where we're created. We don't need to be Christians. We don't need to be, you know, it just happens. That's how we're designed. And so we need to guard that. It's powerful and it's reserved for our spouse alone. And might I say, body and eyes. The word here, unite, I'm going to get to it in just a second, but the word here, unite, is pursue. And so sometimes we have to ask ourselves, what are we really pursuing here? Because there's an automatic union, spiritual union that happens. And we got to guard that. But, and here's the unite. The last verse, verse 17. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Look at that word, unite. That word is the same word that we talked about in week two of this series, that we're united with our wife. We're cleave. Some of your translations might say cleave. Who cleave to the Lord, who pursue the Lord. And remember, we talked about that with husband and wife. But notice here, he who unites, cleaves, pursues the Lord, is one with him in spirit. That's what we want together. To pursue the Lord together knits us together. In worship together, God knits us together when we seek him together. And also just another natural way to do this, to knit ourselves together, is that interests together knit us together by our actions. So how can we do this? You know, we got this God's plan for marital bliss that is awesome and maybe a touch idealistic. And then we have real world stuff that, you know, it's just real. And then we have this plan to work toward what God has for us. Well, how can we put this into life? How can we put this, just apply it today? Well, four ups to marital bliss. Four things on our way to bliss. Four ups. The first up is give up. Give up. You know, how many arguments do you have really mean nothing? Michelle and I's first knockout, drag-out fight was over envelopes. Not kidding. Envelopes. Really? Envelopes. You know, just give up. You know, it's not that big of a deal. Do you want to make a point or do you want to make a difference? You know, just, there's a lot of things that's like, whatever you'd like. You know, envelopes, fine. You know, just give up. That's the first up of finding marital bliss. There's a lot of times to give up. Second one, make up. The fights you didn't give up, you need to make up. Don't wait a long time. Just make up. And then the third up is build up. Work toward wins that you can celebrate together. Pull together, right? We're pulling together for a common goal, and we get to celebrate that common goal together. We're building up to that moment that we can celebrate. Whatever it is, we're pulling together. We're doing it. Build up. And then fourth, look up. Look up together. Look to the Lord together. Seek God together. Look up. So just like our video, shorts, the Adventures of the Wishing Rock, you know, be careful what you wish for. We want to be closer in marriage, much closer, connected. And one of the things that we need to bring out here is the most common illustration that God uses of His relationship to us is the marriage illustration. He says, you know, there's this unique thing that you humans experience called marriage. And He relates our relationship to that. It's the only thing that even comes close is marriage. And so He, just as we long to be more connected with our spouse, He longs to be more connected with us. He yearns for that. He yearns for that closeness and that intimacy. He yearns to be connected to us. And so I want to put into the back of my head, and I want to encourage you to put into the back of your head, that every time you have a moment where you're like, oh, I really wish I was closer to my spouse right now. Well, work on that. That's the front of your head. But in the back of your head, I want you to hear that as a message from Jesus saying, yeah, I want to be closer to you too. I want to be closer to you. Jesus longs for this. This is our text. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. He wants the same thing, the same nearness. He who unites himself with the Lord is one. That's our text. Is one with him in spirit. We long for a blissful marriage, and he longs for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to look into your word. And we pray, Lord, that you would guide us and lead us in our relationship towards this blissful ideal. Lead us, Lord, together. And Lord, we also take this as a reminder to unite ourselves, to cleave toward you, to pursue you, that we might be one with you in spirit. Again, we give you our hearts. And we lean upon you for that nearness that we also long for. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Freshwater Church meets in Gilbert, Arizona. Please check out our website for more information, freshwaterchurch.net. You may also email us at office@freshwaterchurch.net. If you have some tough questions about the Bible, God, or the church, feel free to email us at questions@freshwaterchurch.net. God bless, and we hope to see you soon.